Welcome. It's the Long Coat Mafia, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed podcast, the Long Coat Mafia podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And we have a lot to go over today, this week. We'll be talking about the two events we went to this weekend. The biggest one that we did go to was Four State Comic Con, and the other one was the home show. The reason why I say that, I'll get into that in a little bit. But let's talk about Four State Comic Con, because I'm sure that's what a lot of you are interested in me talking about and hearing about, especially some of you who did not go to this event this past weekend. Now, let me just say this. We did not go as a vendor this time around due to numerous circumstances coming in upon themselves. We were there as a ticket holder, so we could not really do a lot of things that having a vendor pass or a media pass would have allowed us to do, meaning that the big person that we would have interviewed was Lori Allen. I know a lot of you out there might not know the name, but known what she has done. The reason why I say that is because Lori Allen is a voice actress. She's done, she's voiced Diane Simmons, which, I won't say which, the character is the female newscaster in the earlier seasons of Family Guy. And she said, from what she's been told, that she'll be brought back to voice Diane's sister for a few upcoming seasons on Family Guy. And it's going to be like a twin sister, so to speak, from what she has told us. Again, we did not have the aspect or the credentials to get an interview with her. Mind you, if she had a panel at the show, we would have asked as much and as we could, and politely as we could, to get an interview. Not so much an interview, to record that panel, to bring it to all of you. And she's also voiced Pearl Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants. Those are the two most notable characters she has voiced in her career. She's done a plethora of other work in her career. I do suggest you go see her IMDb page. But the one of the best, or I should say one of the cutest things that was happening or happened as soon as I got her autograph on a Family Guy picture was that there were two big, I won't say it was a big fan of SpongeBob SquarePants. I think it was a father and son there. The father said him and his son really enjoy SpongeBob SquarePants. And the thing is, it was one of those instances, it didn't, for the dad, he kind of understood that there are voice actors who voice the characters. Kids don't really understand that someone has to voice the character. There is that magic. There is that innocence for that character. And Lori came around and went up to the kid. Now, this kid might have been no more than maybe 6-7 years old, tops. If not, in around there, I want to say maybe 6 tops. And she went up, down, knelt down very innocently, and did Pearl, the Pearl character. And it took a full 10 to 15 seconds before it clicked in this child's head that this, you know, oh my God, you know, it took a sec. It was very adorable, very kind, it was a very fun experience to witness firsthand and to see that personally, because there are times that you hear stories like that, and it's nice to see the magic of that actually happen firsthand. Now, granted, I've met Billy West before, and I met Phil Lamar before, and granted, both these fine voice actors and talented voice actors were kind enough to let loose their talent and the characters that they have done. But the people that were around them, the fans, let's say, that were around them are useless. They know they voice Hermes and Fry and countless other characters. So the magic is there. It's that treat. It's that the dessert after the meal. So they don't know it. They understand. And it's like, oh, I got to hear Billy West talk as Ren and Stimpy or as Fry or as Zoidberg. Or I heard Phil Lamar talk like Samurai Jack. Yeah, but that's, they understand that, they get that, they understand and they bask in a little bit of magic that's there. But to actually see the magic of the recognition in a child's face was cute. There was other things that, like, it was, there was, crowd-wise at 4-State, it seemingly was probably a little bit more of a crowd. There were seemingly some dead spots, but it was the usual dead spots that being there for several, especially in Hagerstown, at Hagers Hall, were there. Meaning that in the, if you're facing the back of the convention center, the back right-hand corner was seemingly dead at times, as well as the back right, because a lot of times the crowd does not filter that far back. And again, I won't say this. I was not really there a good portion of the day to see how crowded Cosplay Alley was, but because I was ironically getting two panels for all of you on Saturday. So, and I'll get into that in a moment. But, and for the folks at home, if you want to play along, take a drink for every time I say, I'll get to that in a moment. But the thing is, I couldn't really tell how much traffic and how it was flowing because I did not really sit down in the hall itself to see how the traffic was flowing. But at the times that I was there, it did seem very consistent and moving very quickly, especially when the doors opened. Now, there was a lot of interesting things I get. And the other reason why I couldn't really tell how well the crowd was flowing is because I got stuck in a great way in like two spots. One of which was, again, the Lori Allen booth and seeing that magic and talking to her as a fan. And because she was like right next to the wonderful Monique Dupree, got to catch up with her and speak with her and the person that she was with, I forgot his name. I do apologize for that. But get in touch with that back because she's, again, Monique Dupree is a very wonderful person and everything else. And just chit-chat. It's like talking with friends for the longest time. And moving on to Lorian. The other place that I was caught up was at the Absurd Productions booth. Because Mark Byrne was there. Not Matt. Different. Not no relation to Matt. But Matt was there. I didn't pick on Matt throughout the whole day. I was too busy. But and so was Matt. But the thing was, the reason why I got stuck at the Absurd Productions booth is because I was signing DVD covers. Literally, I'm telling you folks the truth. I must have signed at least 2 to 3 dozen covers, if not more. But the reason why for that is because, as I stated before, I was in the production Bigfoot with an exclamation mark. And this past Saturday was the premiere for that movie. Now, granted, I couldn't go to the premiere or couldn't make it to the premiere. I would have loved to be a part of a movie premiere, but I did not get a chance to to do that. And but I will say this, signing DVD covers because I'm in a movie is a very, very interesting thing, and I'm literally not used to it, even though I kind of played Hillbilly number 2 or 3 or number 1, depending on who I'm arguing with in regards to that scene. But it was just very interesting. It was like, yeah, I'm in this too. Sign my cover. I'm like, oh, son of a... I can't believe I'm signing this again. But it was very fun, very interesting. I do have my own cover that's signed by multiple people. There's a few more people I have to have it signed from. I think I have to get Captain Mongo to sign it as well, amongst a few other folks. I think Captain Mongo, a.k.a. Jesse Green, or vice versa, however you want to look at it. I think he was one of the Bigfoot in the film, so that's that. And let's see. Let's move on. Let's see what else. I got to speak to a bunch of people and have a little bit of fun with Sasha and the Princess of Darkness and a few other people, and just making my rounds doing the walkthrough, which is on our YouTube channel. It's extended walkthrough, and it was just a wonderful day. I think I did more during the day than I did probably when I was a vendor, and because being a vendor tends to be boring, but I did a lot of stuff. I did have fun as a ticket holder, much like last year. I was a ticket holder and I got a lot done. I think I got more done this year at this spring event than I did at last year's spring event. Now, to move with the panels, I sat in on 2 panels. The cosplay panels did not really interest me that much, but because I'm not a cosplayer, nor do I want to be a cosplayer. The reason why we got Langley Cat's cosplay panel last year is because, one, we were trying to get as much content as we could, and special thanks to Langley Cat for her allowing us to get that panel, which can be found in our archives on our Podbean site, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Plus, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and wherever podcasts are found through the wide web. But I sat in on the Ashcan premiere panel, which was hosted by buddy of the show, Josh from Victims and Villains. I do suggest checking out his podcast if you haven't heard it already. It is a geeky podcast which also talks about suicide awareness and depression awareness, and how you could find help in regards to overcoming those issues. And if you feel that you're suffering or have something like suicidal thoughts, that you should go get help, seek, call the national hotline and so forth and so on, or seek help if you go down that dark path. And he does a wonderful job at doing it. He hosted a wonderful panel in regards to this Ashcan premiere, which was premiering at the show as well. So there was a lot of premieres happening at the show, and a lot of things that were coming out at in a good way. Honestly, a good way. Double entendre not implied. A lot of things were kind of premiering at the show. One was this con exclusive of an Ashcan or a comic premiere, and that's what this panel was about. And it was a wonderful panel. It was a very interesting panel. And one of the things that it might have been a convention first for State Comic Con, and that was during the panel there was a proposal. One of the panelists, not Josh, knelt down and proposed to his girlfriend. So, and guess what, folks? We recorded this panel. And yes, we offered it up to Josh if he wanted this panel, and he said Yes, because why? Because he wanted to record the panel as well. So why not share the recording? So stay tuned for that panel. And yes, I will be leaving that aspect in regards to this person proposing to his girlfriend. And by the way, she did say yes. It was a very wonderful moment. And what can I say? And just wandering around, just looking at everything and picking up a few things. I picked up a few patches, which will probably be going on one of the show coats. I'm not sure which one. I got the Bigfoot DVD, but I didn't really spend that much money on it. And I should say I didn't spend anything on it because it was Mark's kind of gift to me in regards to the movie. Yes, I have to see it because I want to see the finished copy. I didn't get a chance to see it in the theater on the big screen. I spoke to Mark in regards to him being at the Bigfoot convention down in Waynesboro, Virginia, which we will be at in June. So be on the lookout for that. I might create a Facebook event for that. And he wants us to record his panel. It's going to be like maybe about a two-hour panel in regards to he wants to show the film on the big screen, and he wants to talk about it afterwards. So, or he'll be talking about prior to it. Either way, he wants us to record him talking about the movie, so he could have it as a extra. So, if he redoes the DVD or puts it on Blu-ray, he has an extra to show people. So, whether or not we record it regards to VRA our phone or our GoPro is different. So, but we'll have it audio and we'll have it video. We'll be recording it, and we'll be more than happy to share the video and the audio with Mark in regards to that. And what else? What do we do after that panel? We walked around. We took some photographs. We hung out at a few booths. I didn't really do too much. They did have they had an escape room. It was a different fee. I think it was another $10-$15 fee. I didn't partake in that. They had a board game room or a gaming room. It was literally a board game room, but I'm sure if there was an empty table and you wanted to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon or Magic the Gathering, they probably would have allowed you to do that as long as you behaved and was very polite. So, and that was free of charge with admission, was this board game room. What else? After that, we hung around for another hour and we finished up our walkthrough. And we spoke to a lot of interesting and great folk. I do recommend hopping on to our YouTube channel and checking out our walkthrough. We'll be posting up previews for the panels that we recorded. And the other panel that we recorded and sat in on was the Snitsky panel. Snitsky is a former WWE wrestler, and he's done a movie. I think it was like 100 Acres or 1,000 Acres or whatever it is. When I asked to see if I could record his panel, he wasn't sure. He was pretty much said he didn't mind because, as always with the panels that we provide to all of you out there, we just share the panels that are there that we get. We ask permission. Two, we don't earn any. Even if we did earn income through either YouTube or Podbean or anything else, we would not put any ads on the panel recordings because that means we're earning income off of it. Or I'd probably believe that I'm selling those panels, and I don't think that people should be charged for a panel recording or anyway, or that I'd probably feel guilty if I was earning money off of it. But the other reason is because I believe that the folks out there like yourselves listening to this program, if you couldn't make it to the Gene's the Snitsky panel or the Ashcan panel, you missed out. You know, it's like you might feel bummed. It gives you a chance to have something free in your pocket, or in a way in your pocket, or something to listen to, a way to walk away from the show. I did enjoy myself at the show. Would I have been there for the second day? Yes, I probably would have got snagged two more panels. I would have had, now to go back on the Snitsky panel. I did sneakily start recording at the beginning when things started up, so I might have to do a little bit of a editing job to boost the audio. But I was given, because Gene was very I should say Snitsky was very polite, and he understood that I will not lay claim to any content. I'll claim that it's content, but we would give him credit and Four State credit for the panel. And I told him flat out, simply, if he says no, or if I'm told no, I shut everything down, I close everything up, and I don't record. If it's yes, and I get the thumbs up, I set up, record, and whatever links to that he has, he gets credited, and everything else he gets, you know, put out there. The thing is, with the Gene Snitsky panel, it would be one of the few panels that we leave the explicit tag on, because there are several times that it becomes a little bit adult-oriented, both in language and in content. That also being said, the reason why the John Johnson interview still has the E on it is because I don't remember if it has any language issues in it. I have to listen to my own podcast to make sure whether or not it has explicit content. If it doesn't, I'll take that E off. But with the Gene Snitsky panel, that E will stick on that panel. The Ashcan panel, the E will come off. But I had a blast. I had a good time. I got a chance to see Big Candy. Now, here's the thing. Like all good plans, things did not come to fruition sometimes. What we had plans to do was to kind of hijack the convention outside. But due to, again, circumstances and everything else, he couldn't make it until later. So plans were scrubbed. And who knows how or what we'll do next time around. We might do a hijack someplace else. But I had a good time. I had fun. The person that brought me up to the show that I card pulled with, it was her first time going to a convention. So coming back, yes, she had the atypical con fatigue, and she took a whole mess of photos. But I don't think she kind of understood a lot of the culture and etiquette that goes with the con aspect or with pop culture conventions, meaning that the folks out there that are not really convention goers when it comes to pop culture conventions, there is an etiquette and there is a culture. I won't say, a lot of people will say there's a convention culture. No, there's convention etiquette, meaning that you can't just go around at times just snapping pictures. Because with cosplayers, the etiquette is to ask before taking their photo. There are times that a professional cosplayer like Kaylee Marie or Megami Cupcake, they tend to go into character. I'm not saying Kaylee Marie does, but some professional cosplayers do go into character, and you trying to break that character, they won't do it. I tried to get one in our walkthrough. It's like, hey, mind breaking character for a moment? And he did not break character. So that's that. I just rolled with it. It's better off not. Excuse me, I needed to take a drink. But like I said, I had a good time. It was very interesting. It was very good. I had a lot of conversations with some of the vendors. That's what you do anyway. I spoke with Josh from Victors and Villains, Jordan from not those not so super dudes. There's a few things I can't go into right now because everything's still not in fruition. But other than that, it was pretty decent. They might have hit their average for this weekend, which is about 1,200 to 1,500 people. 1,200 to 1,500 people. But then in some cases, I think, even though I'm not going to knock Snitsky or Laurie Allen or Monique Dupree, but the thing is, it seemed like a year two con, meaning that this is their second year doing it. I think the reason why the level of, again, not knocking Snitsky, not knocking Laurie Allen, not knocking Monique Dupree, not knocking any other guests that they had there, but it just had that feel a little bit because Matt Burns wasn't officially a part of the show this year or from the end of last year on because at the end of October, Matt Burns announced that he was no longer part of Four State Comic Con, and he's taken a step back to do other roles, especially going into filmmaking and everything else. So it maybe that has a little bit different feel to it because Matt has been the heart and soul a lot of times of Four State. But I think I might have heard him said the pressure is now off a little bit. It's not that he learned a lot with Four State, and I do thank Matt Burns for teaching us a lot of stuff in regards to conventions, so, and helping us cut our teeth when it comes to conventions as well. So, will we be going back in the fall to their fall show? The thing is, I don't know. Do not quote me on that. We will not be vending at their fall show. Even though we could set up and break down in less than 15 minutes, there's a good chance we will not, because their fall show will be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the state's capital, and I'm just not feeling. I might go there as a ticket holder again. Maybe, who knows? I'll see if I can score a press pass. I would have to speak to the few of the people in regards to doing so. But beyond that, I don't know. I think they're still building their guest list in regards to it. So I'm going to move on from that. But we have at least 2 more weeks of great Four State content for you. Stick around for it. I'm going to give this maybe about a 7 out of 10. Not really going into last year's experience in regards to being a vendor, but I might talk about that again, what's been happening since then with Big Candy when he's on the show within the next few weeks. And having the 2 panels is also good because Big Candy is feeling a little bit under the weather. And to kind of move on to the home show. The only reason why I wandered up to the home show today, because I'm recording this on Sunday night, is because, well, when the spring show of Four State Comic Con normally happens, the home show usually happens as well. Now, earlier on, like maybe in 2016, the home show and the spring Four State Comic Con happened at 2 different dates. I was able to kind of go to both. And for you folks out there, I might have talked about the home show before. The home show, ironically for me, was like a barometer in regards to my convention experience. Meaning that if I went to the home show and I had seemingly made a lot of connections and got a bunch of freebies and had a great time at the home show, it usually meant if I went to other conventions later in the year, I'd make a lot of connections, I'd have a good time, and get a lot of stuff. And that's the thing. It's like, well, what do I go to this time around? Do I go to the home show or do I go to Four State? Well, let me go to, I have a commitment with Four State. Let me go to that. I'm a vendor, so forth and so on. So for the past, I want to say I think I missed out in 2017, and I think I missed out last year in 2018, and which I did. So I decided, hey, I'm off. I don't have any obligations today. I'm gonna wander up to the home show and back, and it's about the same thing as I remember it is, as it was. It was fairly busy, but to give you a comparison of what the home show is, granted, I made a walkthrough video of it. I'll post it up to our YouTube channel soon, as soon as I sew it together and look through it. It's just a sampling. Why give you guys and gals a full walkthrough? Because it's just the same boring stuff. And I'll get to that in a moment in regards to why I, as well as I didn't do a more than complete walkthrough. The home show is pretty much for those that are looking to buy a home, because the vendors there are not like a pop culture show. Granted, it's nowhere in the same league as a pop culture show or a geek-related show, meaning that at the home show, you're not going to see anybody in cosplay. There's not going to be any vendors selling books or related items. It's pretty much a lot of businesses in the area showing or promoting their business, meaning that you'll have we have the local newspapers show up. So, you know, it's a way for a lot of new people who are coming into the area, what's available to them in the area, meaning that the Apollo Theater shows up saying, hey, there is a theater that does plays in the area. Xfinity is there saying, hey, these are we're your cable option in the area. Sometimes DirecTV shows up saying, yeah, we're the satellite TV show place that's there too. I didn't see Frontier, but I'm just saying Frontier might show up and saying, hey, we're the local phone company. Sign up for us for DSL service. Boost Mobile is there. Like, hey, we're one of the cell companies around here. We'll give you a deal on a phone. Yeah, stuff like that. Plus, there's a plethora of contractors, plumbers, roofers, a concrete specialist, exterminators, and so forth and so on, you know, to tell everybody, say, hey, if you need home improvements, we are here. That's another reason why the home show is there. And plus, it gives those who are renting but looking to buy their first home or a new home, hey, if you need work done on that home, this is your option. We could, schedule something now, and it's somebody you could physically speak to right away. But the thing is, it's the same old, same old. I picked up a couple of water bottles. Like, it's a way to get pens. The reason why I say this is because I've known a lot of people who went to the home show strictly for the pens, because instead of spending $5-$10 on pens throughout the year, they go there day one and day two and stock up of pens, and they have enough pens for the year. So, another thing that the home show tends to happen is, or happens at the home show, is the fact that they have a silent auction where you could, the people who go could bid on, like a flat screen TV a gift package to the Alamo, theater place in Winchester, or, stuff like that. And the thing is, when you look at something like that, it just shows you that people do not know how to bid at auctions, because they'd have a $300 TV, and there's the max bid currently at like $400 for a $200 TV, or when you add up the cost of like the Alamo Theater packet was two tickets, two passes, and a large popcorn. And the total, I think the total value was maybe about $100 or something like that, in around there. And the top bid was at $100. So you have a deal there. But when you look at some of the bidding papers, it's like you have like 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 60. Then you have one numbskull bid $10. Really? That you're going to put $10? You're automatically outbid. It's like you just failed at bidding at an auction. Go home. Go home. But like I said, a lot of you have something that's cheap, but people are drastically overbidding it for no apparent reason. And I don't know if it's if the silent auction's for charity or not. I don't know. If it is, that's one thing. I cannot complain about any silent auction going to a charity. But one of the good things is, I'm always able to get kettle corn at this event, because they do have a couple of, food trucks at this event, or at least, where it is now. And I got myself some kettle corn, but it didn't have the same feel as it did in years past. I just wanted to go to check it out and see what was going on, because I haven't been at the home show for several years. And it just was like, no, I don't want to be here anymore, right? And everything else. And I know Big Candy will probably like, well, did you leave a few flyers? No, I didn't, because they kind of really cracked down on places to lay flyers. So even though I did have them with me, and one of the things that they were looking out for, I think, if I want to be paranoid, I could say my reputation kind of preceded me, because one of the things was like, you cannot solicit, you cannot do any type of promoting unless you're a vendor. You can't, you know, nothing of that sort. No, not just solicit, not just, you can't, I'm losing the term right now. It's kind of the same thing that politicians kind of do. You can't campaign anywhere inside the building. But one of the things I did, and one of the vendors outside noticed me kind of film and go inside with it, he asked me if I was doing a live video. I said no, I was doing something for my YouTube channel, or at least the channel for this show. And he inquired, and he was like a little bit inquisitive about podcasts and all that. And I explained things to him. It was a fun conversation. Like, what, if you had the chance, what would you kind of campaign here and promote here, if you could, one way or another? I said, yeah, because construction people tend to listen to stuff on site, whether it's through their own personal device or have a radio set up for the whole site to listen to. It's something, in a way, even though what I do in this podcast is not really set out in regards to general talking heads, it's more geek related, which all of you out there know, but you're my demographic. You have ears, you listen, you want background noise, and if that, you want to listen to my podcast on your site, I'm more than welcome to provide that content for your site, whether you pay attention or not, I don't care. But I told him, like, we have a lot of variety of content on our site. So, and I saw him a little while later in a different location. He kind of recognized me. So, that was fun. But I enjoyed myself more so at Forest State than I did at the home show. Good seeing the family there again. A lot of folks, from Sasha to Monique, to Matt Burns and Mark Burn, the whole nine yards, and Miss Rossi again. Just a usual band of, I won't say idiots, but the usual friends and interesting acquaintances I've met over the years working with 4State and attending 4State events. I want to give a special, before I forget, I want to give a special shout out to Donnie Drum. This guy's one of the nice guys. He makes a lot of his own masks. He's a cosplayer, but he makes a lot of horror stuff. So he's a wonderful trip. You see him in our video. I went to wake up the screen of my video and accidentally stopped the video. He's always smiles. He's a fun guy to be with. Too bad I couldn't see the premiere and stay for the after show. So that's about it. And I have nothing really more to cover. If you guys want to check out 4State Comic Con, I think they have a website. It will be in the description down below. And what else? That's not much else. So I'm going to say this. You could always email the show at... my mind is drawing a blank. I think I'm suffering con fatigue or con crud right now. If you want to contact the show in any way, shape, or form, and you want to join in the conversation, or if you had a great experience, let me put it like this. If you had a great experience, contact the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or if you've had a bad experience at 4State Comic Con, let us know at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or you can leave a message on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ rented lips, folks. I am tired. I want to get some sleep. So it's facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. It's all one word. You could also leave us a direct message on Twitter. Our handle is the same as our Instagram handle, and that's LongCoatMafia. And what else? We do have a gaming channel. It is mixer.com/LCMP, and all those letters are capitalized. And we do have a YouTube channel. I do suggest you go to that channel, hit that subscribe button, and watching our videos that are there. Oops, bang the wall. Didn't mean to do that. You will have, because we don't have that many subscribers as of yet, you'll have to search for the Long Coat. You don't have to put in the word the, just search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast and we will be the first result, and click that subscribe button, and as well as when you're on our Facebook. Let me say this, it pays to subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. So again, please go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast and hit that like button, because there will be times that we put Facebook exclusive videos up, and there's going to be times we put up exclusive YouTube videos, because sometimes Facebook is a little bit easier with some videos being posted, as well as it's easier or beneficial for us to post stuff on YouTube. Meaning if we have a music video and we're not sure if it's going to get striked or not, I won't say striked, but claimed, we will put it on Facebook. Or if it's a very short video that we think that's not going to be beneficial on YouTube, we'll put it strictly on Facebook. And while our longer videos and some of our things that we want to put out to the people out there, like yourselves, we'll put it strictly on YouTube and just let it sit there for a little while. So, what else? That seems to be about it. We talked about our Mixer channel. We talked about our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, our streaming channel. Oh, yes. Finding our show. If you're listening to us on a desktop or laptop device, or I won't say device, but if you're listening to us on a laptop or desktop and wish to go mobile, you can do so by listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher, or Spotify, that's it. But if you're listening to us on a mobile device, if you wish to listen to us on your desktop or laptop, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher Radio. You can listen to us on Spotify. But if everything all else fails, you could also listen to us on our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And all while you're there, you can download any of our episodes from our current episode all the way back to our very first episode. And while you're there, don't forget to download our interviews that we've done with Four State Comic Con in the past, the panels we've done for Four State Comic Con in the past, and a whole lot more. So check us out, give us a listen, and what else? I do recommend also getting us on the Podbean app or having the Podbean app on your mobile device, which is available both on the Google Play Store and on the iTunes Store, because iTunes and Google Play tend to be very picky. So because of that, right now, take care. Stay tuned to our YouTube channels, because we're going to be putting up one more walkthrough. That's right. I forgot, folks. You know what? I'm going to save the geeky thing for probably a later episode. But I will say, it's the reason why the home show walkthrough will be so short is because, again, a whole mess of contractors that are sometimes very seemingly anal in regards to what they sell and how they promote their business. So it's just going to be maybe about a 3-4 minute video, not even that much. But that's about it. Stay tuned to our YouTube channel for our panel previews that we'll be posting up, our walkthrough of our the home show, and stay tuned to where you're getting the podcasts from, because we have 2 panels to be posted up. Next week will be the Ashcan preview panel, and the one after that, which will debut right after WrestleMania, will be the Snitsky panel. So stay tuned, and take care, all of you, and see you all next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the Internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.